Well, it's really good to be home. I was on vacation for a little bit and had a chance to relax and get away. Thank you for allowing me to do that. It was a good time. I was able to go down to Champion City Church, which is down near Tampa, just outside of Tampa. And pastors Bruce and Crystal Hall are doing amazing work. They were sent out from us, and they're doing some incredible work. Very good stuff going on down there. So I was able to minister there and be with them. And they'll be back up here. Pastor Bruce was here not long ago, and he ministered here, so you got to meet him. And how many were at the call? You were at the call. It was a really good time to be together at the call and see what God was doing here in Northeast Ohio. I believe that really there's an awakening taking place, and it's starting to stretch from Cleveland down into D.C. now. Some really cool things taking place. Today, I want to talk about DNA, but I'll come back to that. And let me read this scripture for you as we get started. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Does anybody relate to that? God sends you out, and you're not really sure where you're going or what you're doing. I feel that way every day, almost. I feel like, that faith is an adventure. So whenever, somebody starts asking me what the next 5 years looks like, I'm like, I wake up every day with a backpack in my hand ready to be on an adventure of faith. But it says that he went out, and he didn't know where he was going. Verse 9 says this, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise." Circle that. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. That means there'll be days that the only way you will dwell in promises is through faith. That means there'll be days when you wake up and you won't feel like you're in promise. Your children won't treat you like you are in the promised land. So there'll be days, says, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. As in a foreign country. And it says, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You can be in a foreign place, but still dwell in promise. You can be in a foreign place that the doctors say something, and suddenly you find yourself in a place outside of promise, but still, it says, it didn't matter where he was, he still dwelt in promise. And it mentions Jacob and Isaac. And it mentions that he lived in a tent. He lived in a tent because his dwelling was temporary. His dwelling was temporary. And if you're here today, let me tell you, if you're here today and you're living by faith, your dwelling is temporary. Your dwelling, this is not permanent. This is not home. We're just passing through this place today. And I feel like we need to pray for one another for a couple of things today. I feel like we need to pray for one another because there are some of us in our families, in our homes, we're not experiencing the promise. We're not experiencing the promise. So I want to pray for our homes. And then secondly, I want to pray for this region, this geographical location here. You know, there's this scientific. There are certain animals who have this ability called protective coloring. Meaning, they adapt to their ecosystem. So if their ecosystem becomes unfriendly to them, they conform to their ecosystem. See, you see this like in the natural, where animals will camouflage themselves to protect themselves, called protective coloring. So they'll change who they are to conform wherever they are. This is what happens in their ecosystem. But the only created being that has the capacity to change not who they are, but change where they are, is you and I. We are the only created species who has the capacity to not change me, but to change my ecosystem. So wherever Abraham went, whether it looked like a promise, whether it looked like a curse, he didn't live within the confines of the structure of where he dwelt. He made the ecosystem change to conform to the God within him that said, every place I step adapts to me, conforms to me, meaning I don't change my color or my structure. When I walk into a room, I create atmosphere for me. I create in the atmosphere, it feeds me. I don't conform to what the atmosphere tells me. I make the atmosphere transform for me. Don't matter what the doctor says. Don't matter what the atmosphere dictates. I walk into it because I am a superior species. It's in my DNA. I walk into a place and I don't care if it's funky, nasty. I don't care. I don't care if there's spiritual and principalities warring over top of me. Doesn't matter, because I, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the situation. He, the powers and principality, have to bend and bow. They have to change their colors. They have to change their form. They have to make and adapt to who I am. And when I walk into atmospheres and I feel stuff, I just look around and go, No, you see, because I don't have to protect myself by conforming to atmospheres. Greater is he who is in me. God said, wherever I go, I'm a moving embassy. I'm the ambassador of heaven. That means I bring the dictates and the authority and the power of heaven into wherever I go. Don't matter if it's foreign to me. Don't matter if it complements me. I change this atmosphere. You have the capacity. You are the only created being that has the capacity to walk into an atmosphere and say, change to me. Change to me. That's why Jesus, when he walked up on that tree and there was no fruit on it, he said, nah, if you're not going to change to me, you gotta go. If you're not going to conform to my, to feed me, then I curse you at your root. You gotta go. So let's pray. Let's pray. Can I get you to stand and grab the hand of your neighbor and collectively, let's war for one another. Change, because some of us are going to leave here. You know, some of us are going to hear, that just released faith into the room. But when we leave here, some of us are going to leave here to another foreign place where they're going to need the reinforcement of heaven. They're going to need the collective faith from that's in this room to go with them home and change that atmosphere. So come on, pray with me, saints. Pray for families right now. Pray for the region right now. Come on, lift your voice towards heaven and pray for one another. Pray for the families that are going through a fight of faith in with healing today with a young boy who went to be with the Lord, but their family's still holding on to God. We pray for that family today. We pray for this region, oh God. We come against the powers and principalities that would war in the heavenlies against the move of God here in this region. We declare revival be alive in the heart of every hand that's being held right near. We come against every power and principality, every spirit that would come against a move that is attempting to take place in this atmosphere, in this room today. We release your power. We release your spirit and your presence to soften us, to conform us to you, so that way, God, we can walk through this earth with power and authority that matches heaven. We bless one another today. Come on, bless your neighbor. Bless them. Release a blessing over them. We bless one another today. We bless us. We bless the hand that we hold with health. We bless the hand that we hold with provision. We bless the hand that we hold with grace. We bless the hand that we hold with peace. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, God, that families are restored. We thank you for families being restored. We thank you for marriages being restored. Restore us, oh God. Oh, do a work in our hearts today like never before. We bless you, oh God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. I want to receive today's tithe and offering. As I do, I want to make a need known today. There's a team leaving for Haiti soon, and if you can today in your regular tithe and offerings, give to the missions work that will take place there. What we're doing in Haiti, in the nation of Haiti, is we're providing sustainability for a lot of the orphans that are moving and transitioning out of the orphanage, and I don't even like to call them orphans, okay? But they're turning 18, 19, and 20, and so a lot of them are faced with life outside of Disneyland, okay? And so they're moving out of, and we have, you know, somewhere near 60 kids living at Destiny Village, but they'll be transitioning. A lot of them now are transitioning out. And what Love Haiti has partnered to do, along with Destiny Village, is assist them in transitioning them out. So we're creating employment within the nation. So Love Haiti has a store there. We're looking to create more spaces and more business opportunities for the kids there. And as we go in, we employ the children from Destiny Village who are transitioning out. We give them a job, and that creates sustainability within the villages. Not only are we employing the kids that come out of Destiny Village, but we're also now employing kids and people from the local villages. So it's no longer your money going there simply as church welfare, but it's going there now and it's creating movement economically within the nation that creates sustainability that has the capacity to pull them out of poverty. And so that, if you wouldn't mind giving, that's what you'll be giving to today. You can just mark your envelopes there. But we thank you for your faithful giving. I heard this the other day. Our rewards will always be in exact proportion to our contribution. Our rewards will always be in exact proportion to our contribution. If you are unhappy with your rewards, all you have to do is find ways to increase your contribution. I thought that was dynamite and gold. How much are you investing in yourself, in your community, and into your future? It speaks of what you expect as a reward tomorrow. And so thank you for your faithful giving. We are doing a mighty work here in the region. We just partnered with the call, the Azusa, and seen many lives come to the Lord through that call, seen many lives visiting our local churches now, and we're excited about it. So thank you for your faithful giving. Now let's pray for it as you give today. Hold it up. Lots of ways to give. You can give through PayPal. You can give online. You can give through credit with the envelope, and you make your checks payable to CNC. Thank you. Let's pray for it. Father, we release this gift today. We bless it in Jesus' name, and we thank you that as we sow this gift, it goes, as we release it from our hand, it goes and it makes kingdom impact. It's transformed now in this moment. It's transformed. Economically, we bring revival. Physically, we bring healing. Raise the dead, open blind eyes. By faith, we sow it. By faith, we believe and expect the manifestation of what we sow. We thank you for our reward as we sow with confidence and contribute. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. As you're receiving that, take your Bible, go with me to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. I made a comment in passing last week, or a couple of weeks ago, or I think it was last week. And I apologize for my insensitive comments. Lots of times I'll make comments and not finish them because they're connected to other things. So if you were offended by that, I apologize to you. I didn't mean to offend you. But what I believe to be the two most compelling forces in the planet is identity and purpose. And what I believe to be the problem that's plaguing our nation is an identity crisis. So when I made a comment about DNA, it wasn't finished. I'm going to finish it today. When I said there are many who should double down on their DNA, what I meant to say was, if you will just be true to your DNA, that will lead you to your destiny and identity. It doesn't lie to you. Your DNA does not lie to you. And so today I want to share this text with you as we speak a little bit about DNA. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not," what did it say? "Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God." It says that you were born, but Paul says you were then born again. You were born, but the word of God entered your heart, and suddenly what happened was there was a rebirth. A birthing again, a new creation formed from what was previously born. So you had an old identity. So the crisis that I believe exists within most of our lives is that we have an identity crisis. Identity. Identity says, I know who I am, and I'm comfortable with it. That's my face. You don't like my face? Don't look at it. Seriously. I don't mean to be mean or forward, but listen, that's my face. This is how God made it. Now, when it's in its neutral position, it looks like this. If you don't like it in its neutral position, take a picture when I'm smiling. But identity says, I know who I am. But more accurately, it says, I know whose I am. I know the DNA from which I'm birthed. I know who I am. I was born with a DNA. I have no idea. My daughter made this for me. You had to put it together with like 300 pieces. And I'm, you know, I'm scientifically ignorant. This is like third grade science. But I had to study real hard just for the basics. I hated chemistry in college. I had a nun, and she was mean. She was the meanest teacher in that professor I had. She was so mean. And I couldn't understand while I was in class. They kept calling her sister. This is before I knew Jesus, you know. They kept calling her sister. And I'm like, I looked over the person next to me. I said, is everybody related to this woman? She said, this is called the DNA bracelet. This is a DNA bracelet. You can see the similarities. This one is much prettier. Much prettier. A DNA bracelet. And I have a feeling you wear that for a reason. But I was born, and I was born with a DNA. Now, DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, are the building blocks. I watched Schoolhouse Rocky for this. Are the I watched Jurassic Park. You remember that part in Jurassic Park when they talked about the DNA, the building blocks of all living creatures? The smallest particles, the smallest molecules within our, you know, within our reality, within our being. This is what they are. And when I was born with this DNA. But I read the scriptures. I read the text. I read what Paul just said, and it says, Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you have been born again. But it doesn't stop there. He said, you've been born not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Which means when I'm born again, is a superior DNA to my previous DNA. So I was born one way. Then I was born again another way, as Peter declares, and that comes from an imperishable seed. That means the seed of my parents who birthed me there in my born again life are superior to the seed of my parents who birthed me in this natural life. Hold on. And then he says, you're born again through the living word of God. So the word came and it created a new you. That tells me my DNA today is not the same as it was even yesterday. Because every time the DNA of my father is awakened through the word, I'm born again. I'm created new one more time. Old things pass away, new things become my reality. That means that every cell. So DNA creates, they create these other things, and then these other things create tissues, and then tissues create organs, and then organs create people or other living things, right? That's kind of third grade level. You know, I don't know what those other things are, though, in the beginning. I don't know. It's these things in here, these little things in here. That tells me that when I was born again, I was one way. But then when I was born, I was one way. But then when I was born again, I came into a new reality. A new reality, a new existence, a brand new hope, a brand new future. John 3:3. Let's just get through some of these texts and then. Jesus answers and says, most assuredly I say to you, unless someone is born again, You can't even see the kingdom. Unless you stay in the process of allowing the word to rebirth you every day, you won't be able to see the manifestation of your DNA. You'll live in an old existence, experience the same things over and over and over again, because your old DNA can never find the destiny created for you. So that tells me that every cell in your body is begging you, pleading with you to walk in your DNA. It's you wake up in the morning and the spirit of truth begins to move in your body, and it says, go for God's DNA. Double down on your new existence. It says, chase your dreams. Go after the promises of God for your life. But your old DNA says, stay in bed. Ignore that. Be offended. Be upset. Walk in depression. Be sick. Your new DNA says, by his stripes you are healed. You have the mind of Christ because there's this new DNA making things new in your mind. But your old DNA tells you, remember when. Your new DNA is saying, think about tomorrow. Look on the horizon. Look to the hills from where your help comes from. Pay attention to what God is saying over your life. Every cell in your body is begging you to trust your DNA. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, if you're not born again, you'll never be able to manifest what your DNA is telling you. You can't see it. He tells this to a religious leader of his day. That means you can come to church every Sunday. You could be in the choir. You could join prayer groups, but if you're not born again every day, if you're not walking in the newness of the reality of your faith through the DNA of heaven, it's just routine. You're just relying on previous experience from yesterday. You're walking in your old DNA because he should have knew better. Nicodemus should have knew better, right? He should have knew. And Jesus rebukes him and says, you are a leader of Israel and you don't know these things? You don't know that you have to be born again to manifest the reality of what you feel and hear on the inside of you every day when you wake up that speaks to your truest identity? You don't feel that? You don't see that? You don't sense that? Why? John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and he will make known to you. He says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is so you are so reliant upon the Holy Spirit because he tells you the truth. He says he leads you into the truth, which tells me that my DNA from yesterday leads me into lies. My DNA, my very being is deceiving me into embracing the curse. But the DNA in heaven is saying, the Holy Spirit comes and says, this is truth. That's not truth. We need the Holy Spirit because we need to know, we need Him to identify moments in our life when we're trusting the old DNA. We need Him to point out that that's not who you are. This is who you are. That tells me that my me is getting in the way of my truest version of me. Not you. I don't need to be mad at you. Don't get upset with me. Don't get upset with Pastor Mike and Trina. Get upset with you because your DNA from yesterday is deceiving you, is lying to you. And if you really trust the Holy Spirit then would lead you into the truth of what God is saying about you. So it says that this DNA within each of us is like a blueprint. You've heard that? DNA is like a blueprint. And which is fascinating, because that tells me that before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, He knew me. That tells me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. That tells me that I was created, I was born for something specific. That means there was a plan, for I know the plans that I have for you. I have plans for you. When you were born, the enemy had plans for you. He knew where all the outlets would go. He knew how what the pitch of the roof would be. He knew what the landscape of the front yard would be. He knew the dimensions of your living room and your kitchen. He knew where you'd put your faucets. He knew where your bathrooms would be placed. He knew it all. He said, I got a plan for them too. But then when you were born again, God said, these are the plans I have for you, for I have plans for you. Stop living your life with the lies of the plans of the enemy. Stop going back to the blueprint of your enemy and building your life on the construct of lies. Pay attention to the plans I have for you. These plans, these blueprints, this code. There's a code in that helix. That means you are so thought about. You are so thought about. I'm never going to get to any one of these points. But listen, you were so contemplated in heaven. God said we had a talk about you. We sat down before time ever knew you. We sat down, Jeremiah, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. We sat down together and we put together your life and we waited for time to get just right. Then we sold that property next door of the 1 acre and we said, let's build the life of Jeremiah here. It's time for the house of Jeremiah to be established in the earth. And so when time was ready, we built you and then we released you into time. We thought about you so much. We thought about your smile, your personality. We thought about your face. We thought, oh, look at here. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna give her a 7-bedroom colonial by the ocean, and it's gonna have this and that, and you know, when we were building the Wisdom Imaginarium in Lorraine, because when you're building something, sometimes you have to change, and so we thought that's not gonna work, because you know. There's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right. And so We start constructing our future on our real rudimentary understanding of the blueprint of heaven over our lives. And then God comes along, and what we have to do, and what we had to do is that we couldn't do that because there's a line that ran through there. So we had to take the old blueprints and we had to send them back to the engineer and said, these need to be re-engineered. And then the engineer, it took a few weeks. Sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes time reveals changes. Sometimes time has a way of creating a reality that's greater. And when you're in it, you're frustrated. When you're in the midst of the change and the transformation, you don't like it. You're just looking for the house to be built. But we had to send them away. And then when they came back, you know, what would happen oftentimes is there would be these mistakes that would take place because there were in the room at times two sets of blueprints. There was the old set. So you see, some of the contractors had copies of the old set, and then some of the other contractors had copies of the new set. They had the redeemed set of blueprints, but then some of them were still operating with the old set of blueprints. So you'd come into to the workplace, and on any day, you would find things that were constructed by mistake. They were built according to the old blueprint, and then somebody would have to go find the new blueprint and set that contractor down at the table and say, you see here, there was a change made. The doctor said this, but that can't be because God made a change in my DNA. The doctor might have said it, but there was a change in my DNA. God redeemed me from the curse. Jesus redeemed me from my old blueprint. I don't operate that way anymore. I don't live according to the old blueprint. I live according to the new blueprint. So what you have to caution yourself from doing oftentimes is stop referring to old blueprints. And it seems like there were more copies of the old blueprints than there were of the new blueprints. It was the strategy of the enemy to try to get us to construct what God was building with the mistakes of yesterday. So the enemy was trying to take our mistakes and he was trying to build a reality from lies. And in so many of our lives, this is how we live. When life gets hard, we refer back to old blueprints. We go back out of convenience. Because there are more of them. People will remind you of them. People like to remind us of our mistakes. People like for you to build your life according to their blueprints. And see, we've got to make up our mind. We either going to live our lives in the reality of our old man and his blueprints, or the other man and their blueprints, or the new man and our blueprints. It's a decision we have to make every day. How will you live your life? So every human being shares 99% of their DNA with every other human being. This is so fascinating to me. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I'll read it again. Every human being shares 99% of their DNA with every other human being. That is scary.
Those are scientific from a webpage that of research. And I can give you the reference. But that tells me that it's very, very easy. It tells me that the strategy of our enemy utilizes the DNA of the masses to our detriment. It tells me that he creates an ecosystem of reliance upon religion. It tells me that if he could just get you to buy into what the majority's doing and convince you that that is truth, you will be so much more likely just to walk in the old man's blueprints, because 99% of the world is walking that way. And if 99% of the world is walking that way, what's wrong with me? How could I be wrong from doing it that way? That means there is an evil culture that is created, that is trying to compel and convince you to do it the way it's always been done. Why do you go to work for 40 hours a week? Because my mom and dad went to work for 40 hours a week. What do you do with the rest of the time? Well, I get some rest because I need sleep because I'm tired. Who told you you were tired? Well, my mom and dad were tired when they came home from work, so that means I'm tired when I come home from work. Why do you raise your kids the way you do? Because 99% of the people that I've ever experienced in my life have done it this way. That means me. That means that I'm telling you that There's a construct of which you and I, there is this world created that you and I are foolishly just kind of sucked into a system. And it just takes us down the road unless we stop and say, no, I've been born again in the likeness of my Father. Just because everybody goes that way, just because everybody else is doing it, doesn't mean I'm going to do it. And you could take this to the farm. You could just about bet the house on this. If everybody's doing it, I'm not doing it. And if you know me well enough, you know that to be true. I will not conform. I'm not just going to go along and say yes because everybody else says yes. 99% of the DNA of every human being is doing it that way. That tells me there's something wrong. Something dangerously wrong with the systems of this world and how the church is trying to adopt the systems of this world and walk in the new man. It can't happen. They're at odds with one another. Your DNA should scream at you. I mean, it ought to literally yell at you in the morning and say, don't do it that way. Just because, and I don't care how much you revere them. You can revere them all you want. You can honor them all you want. But just because they're your parents doesn't mean that the construct of reality of which they have adopted and chosen to live in doesn't mean it's real. Doesn't mean it's true. I might have gone too far. I'd have gone too far. There got to be a little more non-conforming in the kingdom, in the children of God. There got to be a little more like, I'm gonna check that out. I'm gonna go ahead and develop my me in the midst of our we. That means I'm not going to become just like we. I'm going to make my me stand out from we. That means the best version of me is going to help we. That means if I conform to we, I'm not really helping we. You need me to be me, not you. You need my DNA to be mine, not yours. You need me to walk in the confidence and the strength and the power of my God. You don't want me walking in anybody else's shoes. That's why when y'all try to tell me, oh, you know them shoes you walking in is big ones. I say, I wear a size 10 and a half. I don't wear 11 and a 12. I wear a 10 and a half. I put them on, they're my shoes. They're custom fit to my foot. I walk in my own shoes. And it is time for the church and the sons and daughters of the living God. If you hear my voice, I'm talking to you. It is time for you to double down on your DNA. It's time for you to begin to live the truest version of yourself. Start trusting God more than you trust the others. Start trusting God more than you trust your old nature. Start trusting God more. Start listening to your DNA. Start paying attention to what the DNA of heaven is saying to you. Because 99% of the world is doing it that way. If you put all the DNA molecules in your body end to end, the DNA would reach from Earth to Sun and back over 6,000 times. 1 trillion times 6 feet divided by 92 million miles. That tells me that yesterday has, tomorrow, your tomorrow has no business looking like your yesterday. If every cell in your body can stretch from Earth to the moon and back 6,000 times, when God declares, I'm doing a new thing, He ain't just talking about worship and church. He's talking about you and me. He's saying, listen, if your DNA is that vast and that expansive, why do you still keep walking in the ordinary, mundane, boring systems of yesterday? Why do you keep eating, sleeping, and repeat, eating, sleeping, and repeat? When God said, listen, I've created such a vast amount of creation within your DNA. There's so many new things to be discovered, but you keep walking in the experience of the known rather than the experience of the unknown. You keep walking in yesterday's experience when I have so much more for you. We just get up, do the same thing we did yesterday. What? 6,000 times. Take it all out. Pick one. Pick a different one. The cards in front of you, you know, he's like, listen, just pick one. Just pick one of 6,000. Just pick one. I mean, it's not even 6,000. It's just 6,000 times. Just pick one. You ever have a magician do that? Pick one. And you always go for the last one on the left side. Just pick a different one. That's all I'm saying. Just trust God. Trust God with you tomorrow. Pick a different one. Like try something different. If it didn't work that way yesterday, don't grow weary in well-doing. Change that bad boy up. Pick a different one. Pick a different route. You know, I like driving with the GPS on because even when I get lost, it says, redirecting route. Even when I know I'm going the wrong way, it says, redirecting route. You pick a different one. Try something different. Trust God. He's got so much more than what you've known at this moment. There's this jewelry store. I love this message. There's this jewelry store. And in the window of the jewelry store, there's a clock. And every day, around 8 a.m., George is on his way to work at the factory, down at the mill in Lorraine. You know, back when the steel mill was running. I hear it's coming back. So he walks by this jewelry store, looks up at the clock, takes his watch, sets it to the clock in the jewelry store. Every day, 8 a.m., same thing every day. A couple years go by. George gets up every day, goes to work at the mill, like clockwork. Every day, same thing. Walks down the road. Well, on one day, The jewelry store owner is out sweeping the front. He looks over at George as he's setting his watch to the clock, and he says to George, "George, what are you doing?" George replies, "I'm setting my watch according to the clock." Jewelry store owner says, "That's very interesting." George says, "Why? Why is that so interesting?" Jewelry store owner says, "Well, Al, I've been setting my clock according to the whistle that blows at 6 o'clock every day down at the mill." George looks down at his watch, and he realizes just what you realized. That he's been setting his watch by a clock that's so unreliable. He thought it was dependable. He thought it gave true time. But in reality, he's been setting his watch according to somebody else's clock. The question to you is this: whose clock are you setting your watch to? Whose DNA are you trusting? Because if you're looking to me, I tell people all the time, don't look at me. Chances are you're not going to like me. Right? Look to God. Stop looking to man to set your watch to. The reality of that story is this: 99% of the human race, as we know it today, is living in a construct of lies, deception, manipulation. Everybody's running angles on everybody. You ask for the time, you look to Apple to tell you the time. That's got to be reliable, you think to yourself. They're Apple. All of their clocks run in synchronization with every other clock around the world. They must know what time it is. The truth of the matter is, doesn't matter how big or successful anyone or any company or any organization is, the only person that knows what time it is for your life is your Creator. And it's time to look to God and say, "What time is it? God, what time is it in my life?" Stand with me as we close. What time is it in my life? What time is it in your life? Whose clock have you set your watch to? Whose brand are you adopting more than you're adopting your own? Who do you trust? You trust you? You trust them? You trust the system you live in? Trust the church you go to church to? Don't trust me. Trust God. Because God's the only one that knows what time it is in your life. Because before you ever came into time, He knew time. Hangs the earth upon nothing, sets it on its axis. And when time was ready, God set you inside of it. And then we got the audacity to trust somebody else with what belongs to us and God. I love you. I don't trust you with my time. I admire you. I respect you. I honor you. Let me tell you something. Only God knows what time it is. If he saw fit to create me and fashion me and form me against all odds, set me down in the midst of the earth, then really he's the only one worthy of my acknowledgement, of my trust, of my time. If you've never given your life back to the one who created you, and you're living with unrealized DNA, today's your day. If you've walked away from your DNA, today's your day. Today, coming back to one who knows you. Come on, close your eyes with me. Let's pray. Speak to our hearts, Jesus. First, I pray for those who trusted in the other man rather than the new man. I come against a spirit of fear and insecurity. I pray for a fulfillment of knowing your Father, confidence of walking in the direct footsteps foreordained from the beginning of time for you from your Father. I pray for us today who are walking in the old man. Help us, oh God, to overcome fear and intimidation. Help us, Lord, to step into the realities of a new existence and a new faith. The innovation of our new DNA. Lord, we thank you today. Come against sickness and disease in our DNA. We declare, God, that as we're born again, that our DNA is your DNA. So we speak to every molecule in our body and command it to walk in the obedience of our Father. We declare that by the stripes of our Savior, we are healed. We bless you today. We thank you, God. Nothing is impossible with you. We give you praise. If you like prayer today, we want to pray for you. Altar ministers are going to come forward, and as we dismiss, we're going to meet with anyone that's here for the first time. If this is your first time, we have pastoral staff. We'd like to meet you in the back of the room. Please take a moment to join us. We have some gifts for you, and we'd like to just get to know you a little better. But as we close, if you need prayer, you need to confirm that you have been born again, gave your life to Christ, we want to pray for you. If you have a need, we want to touch heaven for that need. Whatever that need is, whether it be emotional, physical, relational, we believe that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand forever. We want to stand with you. It's a pleasure being with you today. God bless you as you go today. Walk in the newness of your DNA. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Bring somebody to church with you next Sunday. Let's make this place not be big enough for us. Amen. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, please come now.